And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I never should have tossed the desk issue out to the listeners.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because now they're telling you what your ailment is?
Yeah, the overwhelming consensus is that I now have hantavirus.
Oh, because of the mice droppings.
Yeah, and then some people are telling me about their friends who died
from
hantavirus. Yeah. So, again.
I don't think that's what, I honestly think it's a virus.
Again.
I think it's in your head, though, right now. That
strategic miscalculation on my part. Second straight day, I've engaged in a strategic miscalculation.
It's when you have that little voice that says, I probably shouldn't say this, but then you just go right ahead and do
it. I know, but I always feel like my impulsiveness is what makes me so adorable.
I would agree.
Okay. So I missed the weather forecast because I was studying on a topic that we have coming up. But what's the, should we get either Nick or Morgan on in the big lead at two?
Who are, by the way, fantastic. Yes. They are fantastic, and they've been right on the money.
Yes.
I mean, and so they said, and
wait, except for they're changing everything today.
Well, they have to, because they said, and they're, and I'll tell you why they're having to change it, because the models change, and that's how quickly it is. I mean, you can say this, but if it starts moving, they do it, and they say in real time. So right now he's saying we could get more snow, especially Seattle and north, and it depends on where you are and what happens in the next few hours, but it could be a couple inches. More inches than that. I mean, like Port Townsend, which has already been hit so hard, and Port Angeles, you know, they've had like five or six or
We had a manager came up to Nicole and said, are you positive Dory will be able to get into work on Wednesday?
Right.
Of course I will. I've never missed work because of weather.
I know. I don't think I have either, actually. But I live so close.
Yeah.
You live a little bit further up north.
And in fact,
the rain's coming down now. I mean, the snow is like rain's turning into a little bit of light snow right now.
Yesterday coming into work, yesterday going home, this morning driving in were three of the best commutes I've had in months and months and months.
Just
mine
been
too. Fantastic.
And I will say it's because there are people who are saying we're just going to work from home.
So why don't we? Why doesn't everybody start working from home?
If that is a possibility,
let's just do
why not?
That and let's abandon the sound transit. Let's stop taxing people $54 billion. Let's just put all of our resources into transforming us, and then we can become even more isolated, have fewer friends.
Great.
And then we'll spend all of our evenings just sitting behind our keyboard telling the world how much higher achievers suck, and then we'll devolve into a morass of bitterness.
Boy, that
and
sounds
emptiness.
Dark.
That's what it would be.
How about maybe
if everyone
it's just that
from
you
home?
Can do it on an emergency basis, but realistically, you can't do it for a prolonged period. Although there are certain jobs that maybe you could make an argument for it.
I mean, I've wrestled with this because I've thought about working from home.
Uh-huh, but we'd miss your presence. And you'd really feel like boy in the bubble.
If people knew how ridiculous that statement was, that people here would miss my presence.
That's not true.
No, I believe that you and Nicole
absolutely
might. Yeah,
what
no,
do you mean might? Don't even
you would.
Pause.
You would.
Yeah.
And
most people.
No.
Dory.
No. Oh, Ursula,
okay.
Please.
Okay, anyway.
Don't start.
Anyway.
Okay, so I've thought about working from home. My question is, would I be disciplined enough? And I believe I would. But
you're already working from home.
The problem is on the Sundance channel, they got Andy Griffith reruns all morning long.
And then you have your fireplace, and then you get on your couch, and then you're feeling like I feel sleepy and
By the way, I'm loving my fireplace. I saw again yesterday that Jenny Durkin wants to ban natural gas. And how do you replicate a natural gas fireplace? I mean, you convert to propane, I guess, which is no cleaner. And a hassle because the natural gas is piped to your home. You don't have to refill tanks or anything. But Jenny Durkin says she's going to ban it in city-owned buildings, but they eventually want to get away from all natural gas, which used to be the clean fuel. But for people who enjoy, when my wife and I built our house, we redesigned our whole fireplace concept because we decided we want the biggest natural gas fireplace that you can possibly get. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to replicate that if the jackbooted thugs in government take away natural gas as a fuel source for us.
Yeah, plus it's a beautiful focal point in your home.
It is. And I used to have a wood-burning fireplace, and I love that too. But you can't just fire that up and, you know, by flicking a switch. And I want to know, and I beg anybody who, any reporter, anybody in the media who covers the city hall and you have access to Jenny Durkin, would you please, please, please ask her what the source of heat is in the $10 million Lake Washington waterfront mansion she shares with her partner. Her partner, who, by all the financial documents that are available, is worth over $100 million. But are they heating this 7,000-square-foot mansion with electricity? Because that can be expensive if it's a place that
electric
size.
Heat for sure.
And it's not as warm. I just want to know how Jenny Durkin, as she demonizes those of us who like natural gas, I just want to know, Jenny, how do you heat your Lake Washington waterfront mansion? Please, please, please share that with your constituents. I know you like to stay private on things, but so do I. And I'd like you to get your nose out of my life and out of my fireplace. And let's trade info. I've already told you, I'm a natural gas guy. My furnace, hot water heater, my stovetop, all natural gas, my fireplace. Jenny, your mansion, twice the size of my house, many multiples the value of my house. How do you heat your mansion, Jenny? Please let the little people know, because we would like to live with maybe the same availability of opulence that you and your partner have in life. Okay, let's get to this fastest 15 here. Starting with, in downtown Seattle, our friend Jillian Raftery, who's over at Cairo 7 News now, she sent this to us yesterday. But this is on YouTube. Driving on some streets around here, I've had a few appointments up on Capitol Hill the last couple of months. And when you get up on Broadway, there's a streetcar line and there's a painted bike path.
Right.
And it used to be two lanes for cars, and now it's a single lane for car. But sometimes the bike path or the trolley line crosses the car lane.
It's very confusing.
It's horribly confusing. Downtown Seattle, they have a street, I think it's 3rd Avenue, where you can go straight southbound from Denny until you go about 4 or 5 blocks. And then they say you cannot drive straight onto 3rd Avenue in this next block. And so Seattle police, because the signage is so confusing, people pull up to that intersection and they just keep driving straight. And they have a traffic trap there where they just kept pulling over one car. I mean, we didn't have to edit this together. They just have cops out pulling over and ticketing people on what is an intentionally confusing intersection.
This is it's a four-lane major road. It's 3rd Avenue. And two lanes going south, two lanes going north. But these vehicles here, right there, they're apparently not supposed to go straight. They have to turn right or left. But actually, according to this, they can only turn right. And that's what I thought it was when I got pulled over for it. Right turn only, if you're going to turn. But if you're not turning, I figured I could go straight. See how they're going straight? They're about to get a ticket. He's going to pull her over, and he's going to pull him over if he's got time. He's probably just finishing up those other two. See? So they're getting pulled over right now. Look at that. See that? That's what Seattle thinks about the taxpayer. He's not out here busting the drug users and the drug dealers. Right there, right on my camera. He's out here generating revenue for the city.
And that's the thing. 3rd Avenue right there, you're a couple of blocks from Belltown,
uh-huh,
where there's open-air drug dealing on a daily basis. you're just a few blocks from 2nd Avenue between Pike and Pine, which is nicknamed Stab Alley. I found out why how it got that nickname. Do you know how it did?
No.
Because apparently, if you walk on that street, there is a high propensity of somebody plunging a blade into your body. Yeah, so that's why they call it Stab Alley. I'm just guessing, actually. But my point is, well, why else would it be Stab Alley? But my point is, just blocks away, there are violent crimes, there's open-air drug dealing, there's open-air drug use, there's horrible shoplifting that is just crushing downtown businesses. And Seattle Police has decided to prioritize taking a poorly marked intersection and just camping out there so they can generate revenues. Does that make the city any safer? Of course not. Does it increase revenues to the cities? They can spend your and my money? Of course it does. And that's all it's about. It's not about public safety in the slightest. It's insane. Next up in the Fastest 15, at the national championship football game last night, LSU and Clemson, before the game, the president, Donald Trump, and his wife Melania, they came out. There was an honor guard out in the middle of the field. And this isn't a Trump rally. Now, this is in the South. I think the game was played in Atlanta. And the participants, again, LSU and Clemson from South Carolina. But listen to the ovation. They said that this was one of the loudest cheers of the night because instead of half the stadium cheering for a good play by their team, the entire stadium was just raucous for the president.
Tonight, as we honor our nation, please remain standing and welcome members of the ROTC units from Louisiana State University and Clemson University, joined by the President of the United States.
Okay, and then, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but then half the crowd started chanting four more years. The other half started chanting USA. And this is what I was talking about. That wasn't a political rally. That was a football game. And as I said in the last segment, 93% of the news coverage of the president is negative over the last 100 days on ABC, NBC, CBS. And they would rather present a phony version of reality rather than reflect what's really happening in America, where people like the unemployment rate. They like that wage growth is up so strong. They like that we won the exchange in Iran and took out one of the worst terrorists in the world. People like that. And you would never know it if you watch network television news, where 93% of the coverage is negative. And so they just don't like reflecting reality. And then,
hey, wait, to be clear, it was in New Orleans. We're getting
New Orleans, not Atlanta. Okay, it's the Superdome. Yeah, it was in the South. And then during the game, the president and the first lady, they were in a booth watching the game, and actor Vince Vaughn was there, and he was in the booth. And did you see the video of their little exchange?
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, they were chatting for 30 seconds. And then they had a warm, two-hand clasp, handshake, and that was it. Then they said goodbye. Vince Vaughn is getting blasted because he was nice to Donald Trump. One person posted right after, Vince Vaughn is one of my favorites. I always knew he was Republican, but this, so gross. I don't need a Wedding Crashers sequel anymore. I'm not angry about Vince Vaughn, just profoundly disappointed, another wrote. And I want nothing more to do with him. Once upon a time, I found him quite entertaining. Not anymore. And, I got like 200 of these missives. But people who liked Vince Vaughn and found him engaging and appealing as an actor, they now despise him because he exchanged pleasantries with the President of the United States. Who? We had one of those just a few. Oh, it's Ellen. Ellen,
yes,
with George
exactly,
with George W. Bush.
I mean,
at a Dallas Cowboys game.
Short.
But this is the way it's gone. This is what we're talking about here. And I thought this is interesting. White House Deputy Press Secretary compared the reaction to Vince Vaughn to the reaction to the terrorist Soleimani.
I've been in a lot of stadiums with this president, and I have to tell you, I was on the field just a few steps in front of him. I have never heard a crowd erupt like that one did when our president and our incredible first lady walked out onto that field to stand by those cadets for the national anthem. Half of the crowd started chanting four more years. The other half of the crowd started chanting USA. It was an incredible moment for the country, a unifying moment. And then to see Democrats outraged because someone who loves football, Vince Vaughn, and someone who loves the president, the football in the president of the United States, sat down and shook hands and shared a few kind words. What is the big deal? Democrats seem to be more upset at this exchange than they do over Soleimani killing American citizens.
It's true. They seem way more upset about Vince Vaughn. And then finally, do you enjoy the music of Joan Baez, Ursula? Enjoy her work?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but why?
One of her big hits.
I don't even know the name.
Virgil Kane is my name, and I drove on with Andrew
Treadman. You know the song? Can you name the song?
No.
The night they drove old Dixie down? You don't know the song?
Mm-mm.
Man, you are younger than me.
Yeah, and plus I grew up in another country in my young years.
Anyway, I always thought Joan Baez was kind of fingernails on a chalkboard, personally. But, boy, I've fallen in love with her all over again now, though, because at whatever age she is, she has written her latest folk song about the president. Here is Joan Baez doing Nasty Man. Come on, get to the lyrics,
hear
songbird.
About a man gone wrong. You're building up.
Okay, that's enough. All right, that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, you like. Oh! David, do you remember this is Tuesday? Remember what happens on Tuesdays on the big show? Here? When Dave Wyman comes in? Have you ever worked for us for that?
Yes. Okay, yes, I have.
And we play Name That Artist?
You bet.
I'm telling you now because that'll give you about 7 minutes to come up with the most unique, challenging, and fun Name That Artist songs to bump in and out of both of the coming segments. Are you up to the challenge?
I love it. I love a challenge.
Fantastic. I love people who respond to challenges. Okay, Dave Wyman will join us live coming up next. Badfinger.
Beatles.
No matter what
who got
you
it?
Are.
That was Dory. This is Badfinger.
Sounds like the Beatles.
Ironically, Badfinger signed with the Beatles' Apple label, and their music was supposed to sound like the Beatles. And they copied the Beatles, and they tried to capitalize on the Beatles' runaway success. So I believe they signed with Apple Records, which was the Beatles' label.
Sounds like there was some collusion going on there. He knows a lot about Badfinger.
David?
David?
Did you and I collude on this whatsoever?
Not as far as I'm aware. You might have sort of given me your thoughts through the airways, but not speaking, no.
Are you like...
Dory all of a sudden launches into little-known fact.
Are you Dave in awe of my copious knowledge of Badfinger?
I am. I had no idea really who Badfinger was other than I just enjoy this song.
Badfinger, of course, did the song for the final scene of Breaking Bad as well.
I got a Badfinger.
I got a bad thing. My finger's worse.
Yeah. Do you know how mine occurred?
No.
I stabbed myself trying to get ice cream out of the carton, and it went through the carton and stabbed me in the finger.
Wow.
I was too lazy to microwave it to soften it up.
Oh, man. You know how mine happened?
Basketball.
It looks like this because of basketball, but the first time I dislocated it, I was mountain biking. And I was coming down a real challenging trail, and I went down, and first time it dislocated. The first time, and then, like, the second, when I was playing basketball, it would dislocate once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few times, I'd lay on the floor and writhe in pain. And I realized, what a wussy. And so after that.
I like that you policed yourself.
Yeah,
there.
And I did that a couple of times because it really, really hurts. Mm-hmm. But then nobody cares. Nobody else cared. They just want to keep playing. Yeah. So you just get up, you pop it back in while you're running down court, getting back on defense.
Should tape it to the finger next to it.
Yeah, yeah, the sister mm-hmm. tape job. Seahawks season, I heard, came to an
end. Yeah, I heard that too.
Wow.
That's a bummer. You know, it ends so suddenly. You know, and you're in it. And I didn't have any doubt that if they had got the ball back, they were going to score and win that game.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a lot like the 49ers game, where they didn't even look like they belonged on the same field with the Packers in the first half. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way about the Seahawks and the 49ers in, you know, 2 weeks ago. And then in the second half, something magical happens. This will to win. I mean, how do you quantify it? I've talked about it a bit, but everybody asks me, why can't these get off to the start the way they do in the second half?
Yeah, and that's all anybody can talk about. It's not how good they are in the second half. It's why don't you start it off first? We had Dwayne Brown on yesterday, asked him that question. I think Jim asked him that, which is a good question to ask. And he's like,
sure.
I can't put my finger on it. I don't know. I really don't know what that is. So, yeah, I mean, you sit there and try to connect the dots afterwards and see, you know, is it this, that, and the other? Are they somebody that kind of rope-a-dope in the beginning and figure out what they're doing and then figure it out in the second half? Or, you know, are they something in their preparation, not getting them ready in the first half? I don't remember the last time the Seahawks blew a team out, certainly not this year, and then, you know, did it early on. Maybe the Bills game in 2012, I remember that was a blowout. The Arizona Cardinal game that year when they won 58-0.
Right.
But, I mean, for the most part, it's been about comebacks. Russell has 32 of them. He's played in 128 games, 32 overtime and fourth quarter comeback wins.
You want to hear my theory?
Yes.
Okay. I think that against, especially with all the injuries the Seahawks had down the stretch, I think that, you know, manned up against the 49ers, manned up against the Packers, I think they had better teams. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Yes.
And I think that every team gets a little more tired as games progress. And in a natural, normal cycle, if you're down 21-3, like the Seahawks were at halftime, and you are outmanned, I think most teams, they might say, oh, we're still in this, but they don't actually believe it. I think Russell Wilson actually believes it. I think Pete Carroll actually believes it. And so at a time when the other team's a little more tired just because of the progression of the game, and when the other team should be more thoroughly mentally defeated because they're outmanned, I think there's something about the mentality of Russell, of Pete, of the other players who have bought into what Russell and Pete are all about. And I think that's the reason.
Especially now, because it's Russell's team. There was a lot of, you know, detractors there for a while.
Yeah.
There were Russell Wilson detractors, and now it's his team. First of all, in the second half on those drives, they were absolutely wearing Green Bay down. You could see their defensive linemen were tired.
Yes.
And there were guys dropping like flies. Yeah, that's where Abel put it on the broadcast. But their offensive or their defensive linemen, their outside linebackers, they were starting to, they were just getting beat. And so the other thing is, I'm doing a football 101 thing, and one of the stats before the game that stood out to me, that the Packers were number one in the NFL. They had 28 players that played in all 16 games this year. 28. The Seahawks had 102 starts missed. And I don't know where that ranked because I know that there's lots of teams that had health problems, a few of them anyway.
Yeah.
And
I believe the Seahawks, it was either them or the Redskins. I don't know what happened the final week of the regular season. But I think the Seahawks lost more man games to injury than any team in the NFL. Redskins might have had more if they were really banged up at the end. I didn't even check.
But, well, their entire running game disappeared.
Yes.
Yeah, the first three running backs. And then Disley, who I thought was maybe the most important. Justin Britt and Joey Hunt did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it was a lot about, I thought it was a great coaching job by Pete Carroll this year. Amazing coaching job.
They'll bring it up louder.
No clue. I've never heard this song before.
I don't think I have either.
A lot of people who have been listening to this are probably not surprised.
I'll go with Jefferson Starship.
Very close. It's Jefferson Airplane.
Oh!
See, I was going to say Jefferson Airplane.
Why didn't you? We'd be tied right now.
David beat me to it.
You could have swooped in and picked up a cheapie.
That was going to be a cheapie.
Really? This Jefferson Airplane? This sounds like really old stuff.
Yeah, because they were airplanes.
1972, it looks like.
Before they were jet.
What did I say Starship?
Yeah.
I meant to say airplane. I knew it was the old stuff.
It did not.
Crap. Yeah, I did. Don't you doubt me, mister. Okay, we're going to continue our conversation with Dave Wyman as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Aerosmith.
Jeez. My brain's gone. I'm done. I have no...
Just for those out there listening that I would have gotten that right, I was late putting my headphones on. So I just want to make sure.
I'm serious. The ability to instantly recall that was flawless 10 years ago, it's gone, Dave.
You know what the bad news is for you? You don't have an excuse.
I know.
I do.
I know. I didn't take
I got hit in the head a lot.
I didn't take shots to the head. I don't know what it is. Crying out loud. So it's very bittersweet because every year when the Seahawks are not in the NFC championship game, I host a little get-together at my house with all the people on our crew. And you're in for Sunday, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we got and here's the thing, because we play basketball in between the AFC and NFC championship games. We grill steaks. We play basketball. It's just a guy's day. Right. And last year, I was out on the same court with Michael Bumpus, who was at the time 33 years old.
NASA.
But yeah.
28.
NASA's 28. Bump lettered in 5 sports in high school. Phenomenal athlete.
Yeah.
Brock's 6'5". You're a big man. Ray Roberts is like, what's Ray, 6'6"?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. And
then there's you.
And then there's me. I got no business.
And now you got no knee.
Plus, I'm the old. But you know what this is going to be?
Your final game of basketball.
Will be the final competitive game of basketball I ever play in my life. Do you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because I'm getting knee replacement in a couple weeks after.
Right.
And you're not supposed to play.
No.
No. No, you can shoot. That's the doctor say. Well, you might be able to do half court. Well, half court sucks. And they say, well, you can play horse.
Oh, that didn't make you feel better.
No.
Well, you can play half court, like 3-on-3? That's what we play at your house anyway.
Yeah, but I don't think you can do lateral cuts because you don't have ligaments when they replace your knee.
Knee brace won't help?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think I'm supposed to.
Hmm.
They tell me, because plus where it connects.
Do you always do what you're supposed to do?
Oh, yeah. I'm a rule follower. You know that about me. So anyway, this is it, Dave. This is it.
Yeah. I'm glad I can be there for you.
I am too. And here's the other thing you need as a listener to know about Dave Wyman. Dave always brings a steaming hot platter?
A bowl.
A bowl of?
Little Smokies. Yeah. Barbecue sauce, Little Smokies. They're delicious. Am I right?
Oh,
it's become a tradition.
Yeah. So that's it. Okay. All right. Good. Glad we can do that. Wish Seahawks were playing.
Is there going to be 2 bathrooms open at the Monson House this year?
Did we need another last year?
I think we did. Yeah. Never mind. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Wait, no, this is disturbing. This is really disturbing.
Oh, you just talked about the
goes here with Dave.
The sausage and the Smokies.
We needed another bathroom? Because
it's just a stupid joke, man. Move on.
No, that disturbs me.
No, your house is fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
Last time after we were there, I was trying to get comfortable, and Ray was like putting pillows underneath my head and everything. I was wiped out. Remember, I dove into the rockery to save a ball. I don't even know why I did that.
Right. The best part was we were playing Shirts and Skins, and when the Skins team, which wasn't the one you and I were on, right. We were on the Shirt team. But the Skin team, they walk in, and we'd been going pretty hard, and they'd worked up a pretty good sweat.
Yeah.
And my wife, do you mind, will you wait in the entryway? I'm going to get you some towels.
Yeah, let's get some towels.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you get past 40, I'm not, the Shirts and Skins thing goes away. I mean, I'd rather be pantsless than topless.
That's gonna be the title of your autobiography, isn't it? Dave Wyman, I'd rather be pantsless than topless. Let's listen. Let's listen together. Was it 1-to-1?
Yeah.
So this is for all the marbles? Bring it up full.
Sounds like Pink Floyd. No.
Organ influence. Who are the big organ bands?
The Doors.
Oh, no, this is, surprise is just too steep. Is your conscience at rest? this game's gotten pathetic.
Yeah, it is.
Who is it?
It's not your fault, David. It's us.
Wyman was right off the bat. It's Pink Floyd, Childhood's End.
Oh, really? Wow. I said sounds like Pink Floyd.
Yeah. You win.
I would have been... Yeah, just that organ kind of sounds like.
I believe you have won.
Is this early Pink Floyd, David?
Yeah, Obscured by Clouds, my favorite album by them.
Oh, you have won both Name That Artist in 2020, Dave.
How about that? Off to a good start.
You can hear Dave every afternoon, 3 to 7, on Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle. If you want to see him in action, drive by fast. In between the AFC and NFC championship games, he'll be the guy wearing a shirt. And we got lots more. The Big Lead of Two coming up next.